This is a, I like this guy that we're going to talk about. Matt, you can put that title up. This guy I'm going to talk about, this is what we're going to talk about tonight. One bad dude. One bad dude. You know, there's something that really is a common thing with this generation, with y'all's generation. I would say probably that 20 down. And it's this thing that I don't have any fear. And let me interrupt myself right here. If you don't know who I am, my name is Pastor Danny, and I'm the youth pastor here. And if it's your first time, raise your hand. Oh, we got some guys. Yeah, you guys.
Hello, Lucas. How are you?
Yeah. Cool, man. Great.
What the heck?
Awesome. Hey, give me a hand clap. Hey, give me a hand clap. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Welcome to our house, and we hope we can show you some hospitality, and not be rude, and you can afterwards we'll get out of here and we'll play some games and some fun. But right now we're gonna give the word of God. And it's what we do at this time, and usually around about 8:10, 8:15 we kind of go downstairs and hang out and play games and stuff, which is fun. But we know we need this part too, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. All right, I want to talk to you about this guy. He's one bad dude. Have you ever met a guy and you're just like, man, that's one bad dude?
Yeah.
You know, that's one dude. Man, you don't mess with him, man. One bad dude. You know, one bad dude. This guy, I want to tell you, this guy's name was Paul that I want to talk to you about. And Paul, there were some great things about Paul. I want to give a few of those first. Paul was the most influential early Christian missionary, we'll call him. He was very, very influential, this guy named Paul. And Paul was a guy in the New Testament, and he wrote 14 of the 27 books in the New Testament. And he was very influential. Listen to him now. If you're not old enough to listen, you're not going to have to be able to stay in here. He was influential and also in seven more books of the New Testament. He was one that was responsible for taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And if you don't know, they're in our world, there are Jew and Gentiles. We are Gentiles, unless you're a Jew. Anybody any Jews here? Any Jew? Jews? You're a Jew. You're Irish. So, Jews and Gentiles, and if you're not 100% Jew, you are a Gentile. So, he brought the gospel to us, and check this out, he had an encounter with God that changed his life overnight. You know, some of us have come to a relationship with the Lord, and we had this encounter with God, and then we kind of fell back, and then we came, and we had an encounter with God, and then we fell back, and then we came. How many of you, you know, I'm already playing as a new Christian. I struggled, man. I was like, man, I'm getting this, and I fall back, and I'm getting it, and I fall back. You know, but at least I kept trying. As long as you're trying, keep trying. But Paul, overnight, was changed. Overnight, this guy was changed, man. And he was one bad dude for God. But there was another side of this guy, you know. You know, there's always a, you know, like for me, even though I was raised in church and always been in church all my life, there was a time in my period in my teenage years that I didn't know the Lord and I didn't want to know the Lord. I just want to do my thing, do what I want to do, and that was what I wanted to do. And I wanted to just be as bad as I thought I could be, just be, you know, cool. Wow, that's just but we all have a story from where we came from. We all have, and our story is what we in church call our testimony. We call it our testimony, and that testimony is your story of what you were before you came to know the Lord. Yeah, here you go again. I'll do it for you. But check this out. Let's read this. This is Acts chapter 1. You want to know about Paul? You start in Acts at chapter 9, and you just read on to your heart contents, and you'll learn about Paul. We're going to read a little bit, so I need you to be real mature tonight. All right? Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked for the letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, talking about the gospel, being a Christian, knowing Jesus was the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Notice his reaction. "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city. You will be told what to do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. You know, this guy named Saul, it says, you know, we remember that part in the scripture we just read where it says, you know, "I am Jesus who you're persecuting." What has happened is Jesus has already been crucified. He's already died. He's already raised from the grave in 3 days. He's already been ascended up into heaven. And now, he now has come back from this guy named Saul. And, you know, Jesus is getting on to him. You know, it didn't sound like, you know, when you read the Bible, you have to read it, you know, like it says. You know, he didn't go to him and go, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That's not Jesus. You know, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, who are you persecuting?" Let me tell you about this guy Saul. Check this out. This guy Saul was introduced in the seventh chapter of Acts, and he was like a bounty hunter after Christians. Anybody ever seen that movie, Bounty Hunter?
Yeah.
Dog,
yeah.
All right. Dog, he was like Dog, right? He was like Dog, and he was this bounty hunter, and he had a look about him. He had a reputation about him. And you know, being a bounty hunter, you know, you don't go after people in, you know, dress shoes and nice slacks and a $5,000 suit and tie and everything. No, you're gonna come and you're gonna look the look, because you're a bounty hunter. You're gonna look like one bad dude. You know that guy Dog, you know, and his two sons. You know, I don't remember the name.
Leo.
Huh?
Leland, right?
You know, and Leland, man, he's got tattoos all over him, man. He's one bad dude. Look at me, y'all. We one bad dude. And you know, there was something about that reputation that Saul had, you know. And he gave, check this out. There was a guy named Stephen. You probably heard me and Pastor Matt talk about it. And Stephen, he was stoned. You remember that story? Stephen got stoned, and they stoned him. And right when he was dying, he said, "Lord, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. You know, don't hold this against them." And see, it was Saul who gave approval to stone Stephen. Said, "Man, y'all need to go kill that guy. Go get him. Kill him." And it even says in that chapter that afterwards, when they killed Stephen, the people laid their clothes at Saul's feet. He was like, "Man, oh bad dude." You know, and it was pretty crazy, you know, and how Saul, you know, he did things and he had this image about him, and he persecuted Christians. You know, he was a...
Oh, please, no, I'll run.
Oh, my God.
Tupac.
And he's like Tupac.
And so he's just breaking on this guy, right? And now listen, he had this authority from the chief priest to do this kind of stuff. And the authority that he had was so powerful. You were showing the kids your underwear, great.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Man, you're right. Y'all didn't know it was up. So he persecuted the Christians because he caused the early church and the early Christians to scatter. And he caused them. He was such a bad dude that they couldn't even stay in one place. Saul was bad, man. He had a reputation. He would take Christians out. If you said, I don't know who Jesus is. No, I'm not a Christian. Saul, he didn't want nothing to do with you. But if you said, hey, aren't you one of them Jesus followers? And then you'd say, yeah, he'd like, let's go. By the chief priest, I'm taking you to jail. You're going to prison forever. And what they did with him in prison, usually they had sport with him and fed him to the lions and persecuted. It was awful. You know, you drug, just kill me now, you know. But he did everything he could to destroy the church. When Saul entered a city, all the Christians became fearful. When Saul came into a city, people were like, dude, Saul's coming in. Saul's coming to the city. He's the next town. He's coming. Dude, y'all got to keep doing it. Get somewhere, man. I need to get into some sand or something, man. It's bad right now. You know, Saul, he was so fearful because he was one bad dude. He was so fearful because he was
one bad dude.
He was so fearful because Saul was
one bad dude.
He was so fearful. People were scared of him because he was
one bad girl.
Saul would kill Christians and throw them into prison for just saying they knew Jesus. See, if Saul were alive today, he'd be a modern day bounty hunter. He might look something like this. And you know I ain't carrying my peace because I pay somebody to carry my peace for me. I know what's up, do you? You don't know. I know what's up. Saul was one bad dude. You know. People feared this guy. Listen to me. Stop talking. Listen to me. People feared this guy, man. And he did everything he can to destroy. Now listen to this. They would hear about Saul coming to the city, and before Saul even arrived, they were already making plans to get out of that city because they didn't want to go to prison. They didn't want to die. Saul caused so much trouble for everyone who called themselves a Christian that it caused Jesus himself to deal with Saul directly. Man, you know, it's one thing when you go to school and your teacher calls you down, you know. It's another thing when you go to school and your principal calls you down. It's another thing because, you know, you're just being misbehaving, you're being bad. It's another thing when you go home and your mom and your dad, you get in trouble and they call you down. It's another thing when you go to church and your youth pastor or your pastor's got to call you down. But when Jesus himself comes out of heaven and calls you down, man, you in trouble. You're in trouble. I mean, I meant to be like them, you know, the two guys should have done it. Was like, ooh, he in trouble. Jesus, done come off his chair. Come down, he got you. That's when you know you're in trouble. And Jesus comes to get you. You know, that's bad, right?
That's horrible.
That's horrible. When Jesus comes after you, he was like, Saul! You know, Saul knew exactly who he was. Who are you, Lord? He was like, I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. Man, Jesus was like, you got to stop this. You see, Jesus knew that if he could change Saul and direct his energy toward the good of the gospel, rather than stopping the gospel, Saul would do great things. And he did. Jesus knew that I could get his energy, all the bad that he was doing, all the ruckus that he was causing, all the energy that he was putting into being a bad person, doing what he wanted, and causing trouble for the kingdom of God. You know, we always want to think that we're not doing anything wrong, but, you know, I keep to myself and I don't do anything wrong. But let me tell you, kids, you hold a responsibility that when you're in your schools and you're living, not living for the Lord, and that means you're living for the devil, you may not worship him, you may not say, I don't do those things and I'm not a devil worshiper, but the fact that you don't confess Jesus in public as your Lord and Savior, it's telling your friends, you know what? Jesus is dumb. Are you a Christian?
Yeah.
Nah, man. I'm soft. I'm bad. I got time for Jesus. See, the times that I was going to church, and then I would leave the church and I would go outside the walls of the church. I'd act like a Christian in here and I would walk outside those walls. I would walk outside these walls and I didn't live for the Lord. My words didn't sound like a Christ-like Christian. My actions did not show a Christ-like actions. And I didn't do the things that I should do as Christ is instilling in me and teaching me. What I was doing was telling the world that, oh man, I don't need this. And I was telling the world that I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know who he is. So if you're going to do great things, you're going to have to speak up. Amen. If you're going to be a follower, you got to speak up. If you're going to be a Christian, you got to speak up. You got to speak up every time? No. But some of your friends by now, you've been coming to here long enough, your friends by now ought to be saying, man, why don't you go and cuss anymore? They ought to be saying at least that. Your girlfriends or your boyfriends are like, man, you never want to, you know, do that thing you do. At least that. Hey, you don't ever want to be by yourself. You want to be people. Come on, girl. Man, let's get out of your parents' house. Man, this is whack. We need to go somewhere so we can, you know, talk.
What's up?
And you go, girl, mm-mm, I don't do that. I'm like, I want a man to live for the Lord.
That's right.
Live for the Lord.
So my mom,
I want a guy that when a girl's coming on him so strong, I want a guy that's going to go, you know what, you may think I'm pretty crazy because you are beautiful, but that's not going to do that. Why? Well, I can tell you, all these great things, I got all this respect for you and everything, but really, it's really about me right now because I'm trying to live for God. And really, I want a girl that's going to slap my hands when I do things I'm not supposed to as a guy.
Amen.
What? What's wrong with you? Man, Jesus is so deep in my heart, I gotta live for him. You know what Jesus is doing when you do stuff like that? Yeah! 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 He's standing up on the cloud in heaven. I gotta watch my pants. He's standing up on the cloud of heaven, looking at the devil going, booyah! And you're like, man, I don't do that to my man. God is in my heart. He's changed me like you can believe. There's a peace inside of me. I go to this youth group, man, we worship and we have some fun and it's great and I've never been happier. Jesus is like, boom! I know you can't see it, but in the spirit realm up in heaven, there's angels looking at each other going,
hey! That's not my brother.
Yeah. You know? Because if we don't say anything, it's like confessing that we don't know him. Because I promise you, kids, if I walk up to your school and me, just as your pastor, and I haven't died for you on the cross, I haven't died for you like God did. And if I walked up to you in your school and I said, hey, what's going on? And y'all went, oh, jeez. Go. He's like, pastor,
I'm gonna be like,
oh man.
You don't know where my school is.
Hold on.
We will find you.
So how do you think God feels whenever we there's a time for us to confess him and our friends and we get that real hot feeling inside of us? You know, that real hot feeling, our hands are real sweaty, and we're like, oh my gosh, this is something they've been telling me. Here it comes. You already jump on this bus. You get off on a bus, and then all of a sudden, in the evening time, you jump on another bus. Where are you going? Church? It's hot here. Church for what, dude? Is there like some hot chicks there or something? But the girls are like, dude, is there some guys that are so cute? And you go, ooh, and you hear the Holy Ghost. You hear the Lord and the Holy Ghost in your ear going, it's your chance, it's your chance, it's your chance. Come on. And Jesus ever going, come on, man, I'm ready to go booyah to the devil, man. I'm ready to go booyah. Jesus over here got his hand all back like this. You ready, man? And you're like, you have a choice. Oh, boy. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. I know it. Even last time I was so fogged up. I was so uncomfortable right now. I'm holding my pants up. I don't care. That just don't even play.
You ain't a turtle.
I'm not at all. Just like you, man. So check it out. Listen to me. So he's sitting there and they're waiting and all of heaven is waiting. And guess what? All of hell is waiting.
That's right.
What's he going to say? What's she going to say? Her friends are right there. His boys are right there. So come on, man. What do you go for?
Why our church?
So I go because God touched me one time. I went for the fun, man. He's on the board. Man, there's something said, man. It just touched my heart. And I've never been the same. I got more peace than I've ever been, man. Y'all don't think Jesus is playing. Jesus does not play. I'm telling you, he will do the shuffle all over heaven's clouds.
What that boy do?
He will do the shuffle all over heaven because he's that excited.
No.
So check this out. I gotta hurry. So check this. Hey, you got that description? All right, check this out. Look. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord called to him in a vision. Now look at this. This is how y'all got to read the Bible. He didn't go, Ananias. And Ananias says, yes, Lord. Check it out. Ananias says, listen, I got my stop. Ananias says, yes, Lord. And the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas. Judas in the straight streets. And ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. The Lord, and he goes, check this out. This is one of God's boys. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports of this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call upon your name. And he says, but the Lord said to Ananias,
go.
Go. What he said? He goes, go! Go! First it was, Ananias! He had to get his attention. How many times, every time your mom and daddy would get on to you and they're like, come on now. And you're like, oh, I'm going to. And then they go, hey, you better get it done.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's some of y'all done. Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings, to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. I'm not going to go any further than on time. But I want you to read the rest of that, go all the way to 31. Saul was a changed guy. Quickly. Was a changed guy. He was now being persecuted. Because if you read down further in the rest of the scriptures, it says how the Jews, see now Saul is like on their team. And the Jews now were trying to kill him. So once he was hunting, now he was becoming hunted. He was being persecuted. He was the one that people were coming after. Wasn't everything supposed to go perfect because he became a Christian? Yeah. Doesn't always work that way. How many times do you know that even some of you have dealt with it, even in here, that when you've told your friends what you were doing and how you're living your life, people have rejected you. You stop getting asked to the parties. You stop getting asked to the little group talks. You stop getting asked to this. You stop getting calls. You stop getting the texts. And after a couple days, you're like, hey, man, I haven't heard from you in a while. We used to take, every hour, And they're like, oh, I've just been busy. He was now running for his life, and he was hiding. But no matter the cost, Saul was going to prove that he was a changed man. It was that important to him. What he received on that road to Damascus, that encounter with God, was that important to him that he said that he was willing to die to keep that experience. Saul became to be named Paul. So the guy that we talked about that did all those great things, before he knew the Lord, his name was Saul, and that's who he was. He was a great persecutor. Paul did great things for God. Paul had more power than he had ever had, but this time he was using it for God. Paul truly changed the world. He was one bad dude. You know, in being a youth pastor, I'm not going to connect with everybody. Not everybody's going to like me. Not everybody's going to like everything I do. Just the same way it's not going to happen with you either. Some of you can kind of take me and or leave me. Some of you like Pastor Matt better. Some of you can take Pastor Matt or leave him. Some of y'all just wish you wasn't even here. But I'm telling you this. If you will just get really serious about your walk, and I know each one of you kids deep down inside of your heart want to do amazing things for God. And I'm telling you, right now, your mind, what you're thinking of, wow, I'd like to do that for God. God will triple and 10 times blow your mind. Here's the funny thing. The name of Saul, it means desire. And the name of Paul means little. Saul changed his name to Paul because Saul had to decrease so that God could increase. How many of you want to do great things for God? I'm telling you this, you can. This, let me tell you something. You put your hand down. Let me tell you something. I'm gonna just tell you when I told you about God blowing your mind. At 15 years old, I was called to be a youth pastor. I knew it. I knew at 15 years old, I was called to be a youth pastor. I knew I was not called to be a senior pastor. I knew I was not called to be an evangelist. I was called to be a youth pastor. I knew that that's what God, a 15-year-old, put in my heart for me to do. So I just thought I was going to be a youth pastor, and that was it. You know, I'm going to have a great group like you kids, you know. And really, I'll be honest with you, let me just back up. I never thought I'd have a group like y'all. I thought I'd have, you know, a few kids, you know, cool stuff. That's about it. And then all of a sudden, God blesses me with all of y'all with a great staff, because I promise you, I couldn't do it without a great staff, great musicians, people who know all of this stuff to make all this happen. Bless us with all this stuff downstairs for you kids. Never imagined we wanted that. It was 5 years, man, we started talking about doing something like that. And God blessed us. Y'all were more than what I ever thought I'd ever do. Down there was more on top of that I ever thought I'd ever have for a youth ministry to use. The tools, those are tools. The leadership team was another thing on top of that. I never thought, man, I never thought God would ever bless me with that. So that way I didn't have to do everything by myself. It was hard, and I've done it. Then on top of that, God did something that really changed Pasadena. And it was something He gave me in a vision called Eruption that has touched our last meeting that we had in the Pasadena Convention Center. Touched over 800 people. It was an amazing night. And we're going to do it again in 2012. And I say that because all I was called was just to be a youth pastor. And God did over and abundantly above what I ever thought I could ever do. So if you really want to do something great for God, you can. Some of you were Sauls. I was. But God has changed you, and He's continually changing you, and you're seeing yourself become a Paul. Sorry. You're seeing yourself become a Paul, which is a person that wants to do everything they can to live for the Lord and to reach people. See, that's just the first step for us to get saved. The second step is for us to start bringing others in. Some of you are already doing that, bringing your friends and all. Stand to your feet. Tyler, can you come play?